Rusty Quill presents.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Jay, one of your DMs. We've never really done a recording like this, so I just wanted to pop in and give a little intro with some context for you. So, a few of us in the Planet Arcana cast have been hard at work on a custom tabletop role-playing game based on the world of Planet Arcana called A Fool's Errand. If you are current and familiar with the show, you might remember us using the system almost a year ago back in episodes 53 and 54 of the main campaign, and we have been hard at work on it ever since. This is a massive game scope-wise, so it's been a pretty large endeavor. And one milestone that we just recently hit was we started our first public playtest with strangers at Breakout Con in Toronto just this past weekend. We are in March 2024 right now for anyone listening from the future. So B and I sat down and we talked about our experience running it and kind of give a little insight into the game itself. If you listen to this and you're interested in chatting with us more about the game or with other folks who are interested in the game or just into Planet Arcana, please come and join our Discord server and we'll link that in the show notes. Furthermore, if you are interested in the game, we put the version that we ran at Breakout up on our Patreon. So if you want to access the doc that we were actually using, go and check out our Patreon, which we'll also put in the show notes. Okay, that's all from me. Enjoy this roundup, wrap-up chat from Breakout, and I'll see you on the other side. Bye-bye.
Hello, Planet Arcana listeners, appreciators, and those who raise a skeptical eyebrow. Today... I'm here with Jay. Say hi, Jay.
Hello.
And we're here to talk about the absolutely frickin' incredible time that we had at BreakoutCon playtesting our upcoming game called A Fool's Errand.
Hell yeah. That's a wrap on BreakoutCon.
Good night.
Good night. But welcome to our rap chat, in which I will not rap, but I can't make any promises.
I don't rap for free anymore, so.
That's so fair. Yeah. God. God, you have to get what you're worth. Oh, man. BreakoutCon was so freaking cool.
It was incredible. It was my first con as a guest, and it, like, right off the bat, I felt so welcomed by Gary, who ran it, and appreciated, and it just, ooh, it got the verve in me, and that carried through the entire weekend.
Hell yeah. Also, similarly, it was my first con as an invited guest. It was my second con ever just going for, like, a games-specific con. I went to PAX Unplugged last year. But just, like, in the similar vein of feeling welcomed, Gary, who organized Breakout and did such an amazing job, was so... I just felt very, very taken care of. But also, I felt so welcomed and had a very special time with our other actual play buds.
Yeah.
Most notably, the friends at my first dungeon, Brian, Elliot, and Shanuk, were all hanging around. Tot was Soul Operator. Dylan from the One Shot podcast, the Atomless crew featuring Nord Nelly, who's been on our show, Aram and Dylan from Kill Every Monster, like, just an absolutely stellar roundup of actual play buds, and it was very nice.
Yeah, there was an enormous amount of buds, and it was, oh, the hangs were quality.
God, the hangs were good. Yeah, we saw a lot of buds. We made a lot of new friends in our playtest, which I feel like we should spend most of the time here talking about. Spoiler alert, we have entered into this recording with absolutely zero plan and only vibes.
I know that none of you could tell, but that's what's going on today. But the freaking playtests were awesome. They were so good, and we got an enormous amount of really valuable feedback, and we were really lucky to have just every single session. We had people who turned up with a freaking awesome attitude and were excited and engaged, and were really fun players and supported each other and showed us what was what, and we learned a lot about A Fool's Errand.
B, how many playtesters did we have?
We had 17 playtesters over four sessions, and we had a couple of full tables with six players each, and then we had one blessed player who sat down by themselves and played, and I became a player, and that was also a blast.
I think my biggest takeaway from, like, player count was that four people is the ticket.
Yeah.
That's the magic number for this game.
That is the sweet spot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all the playtests were really fun. I loved seeing the characters that people came up with.
Yeah.
I think we were a little bit concerned that, and I mean, I think we said so in the first session, we're like, okay, we're anticipating that character creation is going to take up most of this. And in every single session, we were able to create characters and run through an entire mini adventure from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So that surprised and delighted us.
Yeah, it was funny how there was, like, our very first playtest was with six people. We spent an hour doing character creation, and then we were wrapped after, like, an hour, and we ran a whole adventure of them trying to get, like, a secret tome from a library in Venera Vega, and I have no idea how we wrapped that in an hour. I was also very, very surprised. But then, like, our playtest with four people the night after that, I felt like we were squeezing every last minute out of the playtest to try to just, like, get the last bit of story juice that we could, and we had 10 minutes left, and we were like, thanks for coming.
Oh, and that one we went into the networks, and that was really cool too.
Yeah, a very special time, I would say. I feel like we should tell people how we started the playtests, in that, like, we had a little bit of theatrics because we're us. And I was so nervous about doing this, but everybody was very sweet about it, so we should probably do it here.
Oh, yeah, like the actual theatrics?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, let's do it. Yeah, it was great. We were cheesing.
We were cheesing a little bit.
All right, get ready, jabronis.
Yeah, buckle the fuck in.
This is how we started each session, too. Just like true. That. Mm-hmm. 4,000 years after a calamity known as the Big Oops, Planet Arcana is a world of...
humans and androids, neon metropolises, sunken cities, frozen tundras.
Phenomenal parties, paranormal oddities, and a pantheon of major arcana.
Featuring revolutionary science, spectacular magic, catastrophic world events.
Intimate, personal affairs, fanaticism, hedonism.
Corruption, identity, mystery... history.
Reunion, rejuvenation, rebirth.
A world of high drama and pure absurdity. A world of intrigue and crime. A world where no answer is ever straightforward, whether the question be...
what are these voices in our dreams whispering to us on every frequency? Where do they come from and why us? Why us? What do they want?
A fool's errand. A group of fools on a simple quest to fulfill or deny their obligations. Okay, so imagine we were saying that, but we were also yelling because it was a room full of like at least 50 to 75 people every time and everyone was wearing masks. So it wasn't, it didn't have that like rich quality, I think, but yeah. I think we still pulled it off.
Absolutely. Imagine you just met us and we're yelling that at you.
Yeah, exactly. I love a game that like kind of forces you to get into the mood immediately. So I felt pretty strongly about having this, and I did feel like I felt like it accomplished the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. It got me in the mood to run an errand.
Yeah, to run an errand as a fool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of that, should we talk a little bit about what the game is if you haven't looked at the doc at all?
Yes. Yes, let's talk about it.
Which, by the way, if you're not a patron, and I don't know that we've decided who we're going to put this out to, if it's going to be public or just for Patreon, but if we do release it publicly, we have released the doc that we play tested with for patrons. So I think we released it at every level. So even if you join at like the $3 a month or whatever tier, you could have access to it and see and play test it for yourself.
And survey it.
And survey it. God, please.
Please survey us.
Even if you just read it, there's an option there to give your feedback. And that's it. Everything is very, very helpful.
Yeah. And if you frickin' play with your friends, boy, tell us, please.
God, please tell us.
God, just please, tell us. Please.
Just please
even
tell us.
Even if you have no other feedback, just tell us.
Just tell
us.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That makes me, it just makes me feel good.
Yeah. At us about it.
Yeah. At us, please.
Yeah.
Well, B, what is a fool's errand? What is that?
Well, a fool's errand is a tabletop role-playing game in the setting of Planet Arcana. Heard of it? have you heard of Planet Arcana? If you haven't, it's a retrofuturistic world of humans and androids. In this world, the major arcana are gods, the players are fools on a journey, and the goal is to decide whether the fools will fulfill or deny their obligations to these gods.
Ooh. Yeah. So if you are listening to this and you've never listened to our show...
somehow this is the first thing you're hearing.
I mean, I could believe it if someone met us there and is just like, yeah. Hey, a breakout. I don't know.
What's up, Tom?
Who? Oh, God, did we meet a Tom?
No.
Oh, God.
I just thought on the off chance that there's a Tom listening to this for the first time.
Yeah, just absolutely freak him the fuck
just
out.
Just blew his fucking mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that is like a very broad scope of like what our actual campaign sort of is. So in a way, you could run the story that we are running, but like, you know, your own spin on it. Or you could run something so completely different. But I feel like the through lines are like the major arcana are the gods and you are the fools. And the major arcana sort of have like designs on you. And philosophically, I think what this game is trying to hit is that like no matter what actions you choose to take, a major arcana will take credit for it. And so similarly to what like our players have explored in our campaign, there's like a bit of playing with like free will and what does it mean. Yeah, but this mechanics wise this game uses a deck of tarot cards. Everyone has their own. You build decks based on two suits that you choose for skills that make up like a list of your powers and things like that. And you'll pepper in major arcana based on motivations that you select, obligations that you need to fulfill or deny. And you draw from a comfort deck, which is like drawing from in an advantageous position, or your discomfort deck, which is the opposite. And I think that that mechanic worked quite well. People seemed pretty excited about it. There's like one specific thing I want to talk about with the Major Arcana, which was my favorite draw of any playtest that we had. And I feel like you know exactly the one that I'm talking about.
The death one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was unreal.
Oh my God.
That was in the 11th hour, and a player who had a motivation that prompted them to flip a coin to make every major decision. Another player drew the death card and made a decision that they were going to sacrifice themselves, essentially. So the stakes were already freaking super high. And then this other player decided to flip a coin to decide whether they were going to allow that sacrifice to... Oh, no, the flip was to decide, oh, you take this part, Jay. Oh, my God, this was amazing. Because then, didn't another card get drawn right... No, you go. Yeah, take the
I
next
don't
part.
Remember. Okay. You were cooking.
Yeah. No, okay. So the death card got drawn, and it just kind of snowballed. It, like, domino-affected into another one of the players deciding whether or not they would take the offer to become, like, replace one of the Major Arcana and become that Major Arcana themselves. They flipped a coin to determine whether or not they were going to do that and ended up sacrificing themselves to prevent the player who drew death from actually sacrificing themselves. So it was like a double blind sacrifice standoff, the stakes of which were becoming a Major Arcana, which did not happen, and the results of which were that player and the villain swan diving in an embrace to their death.
Yeah. Also, the player who drew death, that player's name?
Samantha Lee.
thank you so much
thank you,
for being
night.
There, Sam. Thank you, good night.
That's a wrap. Amazing. Oh, and should we say the character name that Sam came up with? Because it's so dope.
Yeah, why not?
It's Mandala, a disgraced scientist gear android.
Yeah, come on.
And they basically did a train heist. So
yeah.
Good.
I actually want to touch on like a mechanic that I'm thinking of like altering a little bit because of that playtest. I have not talked about this with B in advance, so everybody here is hearing this for the first time, but we had determined that like Major Arcanas are a mixed success. But when Sam drew the death card, nothing about that felt like a success to me. And so I'm interested in maybe rephrasing that to have Major Arcana be like a twist or like a wild card that just like, it's sort of everybody at the table decides what it's going to be. Because basically Sam drew the death card to do something kind of innocuous. And then we turned to them and we were like, hey, are you ready for this to be the last thing your character ever does?
I like the idea of wild card because like that, if you felt like interpreting that as a mixed success, you certainly could. But wild card it's very clear and it leaves it open to even bigger fuckery.
Yeah. And we like a little fuckery.
Oh.
One thing that I thought was really cool was that when we gave people like the barest of bones, and most people had never heard of the podcast, which is great. Like really, honestly, super valuable feedback to have from people who do not know our bullshit. And when we gave them like a very brief overview of like the naming conventions, there was not a single name that I wasn't immediately in love with.
It was kind of incredible. And I think I kept all the papers and stuff for posterity. But oh yeah, it was amazing how people just immediately got the vibe that we were going for and were ready to play in it. It made me feel things.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It was very interesting seeing the archetypes that people picked and how like at one table would just get a certain vibe and without even talking about it. Like the first session that we played, 5 out of 6 characters picked an inquirer mixed with something else. So we just had a very like detective-y vibe for that game.
Yeah. Just as an overview, in this game, you pick 2 archetypes, which are kind of like a mix between a class and a playbook. So it just kind of defines your, I guess, kind of job.
Yeah, I would say job is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got influencer, inquirer, operator, which is like a tinkery kind of guy, outlaw, protector, and virtuoso. And you, for your character, you pick 2 to mash together. And if you're familiar with the podcast, we really went through like almost every character, either playable character or non-playable character, and tried to mash them all with these with this mixture of archetypes, and it felt quite easy to do. So that's where we base those six off of.
Well, and it's cool. Like, I was personally really excited about the fact that, like, you could have a full table of inquirers because you are mashing them together with other things. Mm-hmm. So an inquirer influencer is going to feel so different from an inquirer operator.
Yeah, yeah. Or like an inquirer virtuoso.
Yeah, get out of here. That's so much fun.
Get out of here.
What would be, like, if we were playing a long campaign in it, Jay, what archetype mashup would you pick?
Oh my God. I mean, protector is a thing that I, like, that's always what I gravitate towards in any game.
You're so such a pal.
I know. I like to
You're
be a
such
little,
a pal.
I like to be a little helpful beefcake. I would probably do protector, and I'm kind of excited about operator mechanically, but I'm really excited about outlaw flavor wise. So I like this idea of protector outlaw, I think.
Ooh, that's great. That's half of what I would pick.
Ooh.
I think I pick virtuoso outlaw because, you know, like, I was born a bard. I will.
Yeah. Oh, I've never seen you play something like a virtuoso.
What? <Just kidding. laughs> I'm like, yeah.
I think I've exclusively seen you play.
Look, I've got a type.
Yeah, I mean, same.
That I am, and it's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would also be very interested in playing, like, an influencer.
Same.
Yeah. We got some pretty good archetypes.
We got some pretty good archetypes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What suits would you pick for your power trees?
I think I would pick pentacles and cups.
Want to give a little overview of power trees?
Yeah. So the power trees they're essentially skill trees. If you've ever played a video game that has, like, a skill tree system where you have to, like, purchase certain chains of abilities and you can branch off in different directions, that's the idea of the power trees. You pick 2 to 4 of the suits available to be your power trees, and then within them, there are different abilities. So, yeah, what, do you want to tell us a couple of the abilities, Jay? Like,
yeah.
say I pick pentacles and cups. What would I have available to me at character creation?
At character creation, if you pick pentacles, you could pick from a magic ability, which is speak with plants and animals, a tech ability, which is minor alchemy. Some examples there are change a solid / liquid / gas into a different state, combine two objects together, etc. And then with cups, the magic ability is detect a lie, and the tech ability is see echoes of the past. And
God,
I remember a couple people at the tables were like, what are the restrictions on this? And we were like, honestly, just
basically none.
Yeah. I mean, just there's a time limit that is determined by drawing cards to, like, see how far back you can see. But we were very interpretive with a lot of these abilities. And I think that's kind of where the magic lied.
Yeah. Well, and there we Lou. Didn't run into any issues with that either. Like, aside from people asking, what could I do with this? And us going, huh, anything you want. All of it served the narrative. I wasn't panicking anytime somebody was like, oh, I'd like to do this ability that I have.
Yeah.
It actually felt like support as a GM because it allowed the players to just be like, well, okay, here's what I want to do with it. And then I was like, oh, great. Let's do it. Let's do it, you gremlin.
You gremlin. This is a little different because this was a network ability that someone chose, but this was one of my favorite, like, use of a skill on the page that someone did. Was someone chose the ability environmental alteration as their network ability. And, like, network ability is just something that you're able to do in the network. And environmental alteration is very interpretive and very vague. And I think that person was like, what exactly, like, what is the scope of this? And we were just like, And then they got into the networks and they needed to get from the digital network to the dream network or vice versa. I can't remember. And so they were like, can I use my environmental alteration to make a door from one network to the other? And we were like, literally, absolutely.
100%. Yeah. So I don't know. Giving that amount of freedom actually made our job so much easier as GMs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that surprised me, or it didn't surprise me, but I didn't expect it to feel like such a huge support to have this, like, these big blanket massive powers that just allowed the players to pitch things in the way that the mechanics would normally dictate very specifically in other games.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah. And flavor-wise, to me, it makes a lot of sense because the players are the fools, which is, in essence, a major arcana. And if the major arcana are gods, that means that the players are
They're at least a little godly.
They're at least a little godly.
Yeah.
Something I want to touch on, which is like probably my favorite aspect of the game, is motivations. I would love to, like, maybe you can describe it and then maybe we can do a quick draw and just like see what we get and see if we can like just like quick, like in 5 minutes, make a little character just with the motivations.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay.
Well, I got my cards ready.
Okay, dope. So one of the first steps of character creation is to draw 3 random major arcana, or pick them if you really want to. And then each of those 3 major arcana will have 3 motivation options. And so you're going to select one for each and end up with 3 motivations for your character. So, Jay, would you like to draw 3 major arcana?
I would.
Sweet.
Okay. Sweet. I drew the top 3. I did draw the Fool, so I have to redraw.
Right. Yeah. The Fool and the World are exempt from these tables because the Fool is represented by the players and the World is represented by their journey.
I'm so glad I drew that so we could say it.
Yeah. Good call. Good idea drawing that.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, fuck me.
Damn.
I drew the Chariot.
Okay.
The Moon.
Okay.
And the Tower.
Amazing. Okay. We'll take a gander at those motivations. There, Jay, if you can see on the table, there are 3 for mm-hmm. each of them. Which would you like to select?
Okay, so the Chariot has, my options are, you join this adventure to win a bet with a rival. The odds are more stacked against you compared to others, or you're hooked on adrenaline. So I'm going to... Without seeing the others, the one that got me really excited was you're hooked on adrenaline and you join this adventure because you live for the thrill.
Hell yeah.
That one's really fun. So that's my motivation associated with the Chariot.
Okay, adrenaline junkie.
And then going down to the Tower, you believe that succeeding in this adventure will avert a major disaster. You learned a secret that changed everything, motivating you to join this adventure. Your life as you knew it recently fell apart and there was nothing left for you but this adventure. Ooh.
This is tough.
I mean, I kind of feel like your life as you knew it recently fell apart and there was nothing left but this adventure. Paired with being an adrenaline junkie is kind of like
there are implications as to why the life fell apart, possibly.
Yeah, and it's giving major reckless vibes, which is very cool.
Amazing.
And finally, the Moon. You join this adventure as the result of a lie. You join this adventure in order to overcome a fear, or something about this adventure doesn't quite seem right and you're going to get to the bottom of it. I feel like the one that interested me most was you join this adventure in order to overcome a fear.
Oh, that's super interesting for an adrenaline junkie.
Well, and I feel like maybe the fear is not having adrenaline.
Oh, God. That's dire. I love it.
Yeah.
My adrenaline ruined my life. And now I need to get over.
My first vibe was like rat-based adrenaline or something like some sort of like drug-based adrenaline.
Substance-enhanced adrenaline.
Yeah, that kind of got me excited. Check with your table about stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely don't introduce drugs at a table.
No.
Yeah.
But if you've listened to the podcast, you know that we are all cool with it and actively use it. Not actively use it, but we employ it in our story.
We actively use drugs on the podcast.
I mean, I'm fucking stoked about that. Like, immediately I'm in this character.
Yeah, that's incredible. Just a quick seize, what kind of lineage do you think you're playing here?
Ooh, maybe an Aquaian. But that's not really based on anything because, like, I just really like water guys. I just want to be a little water boy.
We're a little water boy and we're hooked on the thrill. I think after that it would just be we'd be selecting our power trees, we'd be mashing a couple of archetypes together. I believe we discussed operator outlaw. Is that a vibe?
I think maybe protector outlaw.
Dang, that is interesting for the motivations that you picked.
Yeah. I mean...
Badass.
Yeah. I don't know.
Protector outlaw? Hell yeah. Bodyguard? Whoa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, protector could be... I don't know. Does it have to be the protector of someone else?
No.
Because we do say the protector places a high value on like things like the safety of their mission.
Yeah. Absolutely. You can protect whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Dope.
I don't know.
What suits would you pick for this character? For the power trees.
Wands describes primal kind of stuff, and it's like a bit elemental, so I feel like that feels like an obvious choice to me. But maybe a kind of like less obvious choice would be cups, which is like adaptable fluid, flowing, healing. And it kind of has to do with like what the question you get off the top with cups is choose a focus for your visions. So there might be something there too with, I don't know, like my life falling apart and having a direction to go and feeling like this is the only direction I can go.
That rules.
It's maybe, yeah, maybe that's what was presented to me.
Wansie Cupsy.
Wansie Cupsies.
Wansie Cupsies.
And that's their name. That's the character's name.
Oh. That's really good. And I think the thing we haven't touched on yet is the ability, skills.
Right, yes. Skills, I mean, they just kind of play like most games that have skills, nothing here will surprise you.
Yeah.
Is kind of what I'm getting at. But all we have three skills associated with each suit. So cups, pentacles, swords, and wands. So we have 12 skills in total. Cups has deceive, soothe, intuit. Pentacles has forage, sense, navigate. Wands has commune, hunt, and hide. And swords has strike, analyze, and tinker. So if I were a cups and wands kind of person, I think I might pick hide and soothe
as
my major skills.
As your good abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, of course, like, this is what comes into play when you're drawing a check.
And yes.
The object is always to draw under whatever your score is for that ability. And that's the way the game is played, baby.
That's the way the game is played. That's hockey, baby.
That's hockey, baby.
We're bringing in an inside joke from the on mic.
And now you're in on it too.
And it doesn't mean anything other than what it sounds like. Yeah. That's hockey, baby.
That's hockey, baby.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening. This was a little tiny roundup. Man, this makes me want to do more stuff like this. Just talk to you.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Let's do this again.
Let's do this again. Yeah, if you want to talk to us about the game, you should sign up for our Discord server. Maybe we should make a channel in the Discord server about this.
Oh, you know, that's a really good idea, Jay. Damn, Jay.
Damn. Okay, damn. We're getting a lot of good work done today. Yeah,
and you were here to see it.
Yeah. And most of all, if you were at Breakout and you saw us and we got to meet you or we got to hang out with you, just know that you made this weekend so incredibly special for us.
Big like, time.
It really was magic in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
That I am still very emotional about.
There was not a single hang that was subpar. All of the hangs were of the highest quality. And so were our players.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
Yes. How do we fucking sign off these things?
All it takes is a handful of playtesters.
All it takes is a handful of playtesters. All it takes is a bundle of fools. You know what I mean?
What does the fool have in their bindle? Other fools.
And remember,
we never tell a true friend our true names.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Listen to the show, read the doc, come to our Discord, coming out, talk to us. We love you. Good night.
Yeah, love you. Bye.
Bye.